family. I'm a Greek returning Knight. My name is Walt. Okay. And yes, I am from the Pittsburgh area. Okay. My king date is 7/23/06. So I'm just a little over 7 years clean. Okay. But I have to say that I have a product that keeps coming back. Is when I first came into the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, it was in 1996. Okay. As I said before, I'm a product that keeps coming back because I came in here and I didn't have any concept of what Narcotics Anonymous really was about, because when I came in trying to save my job, I went to rehab trying to save my job, because I was an auto salesman at the time. And I'll tell you right now, there are so many addicts in the auto business, period, because of all the money that's made, okay, and the principles, a lot of the principles that you practice in some type of sales, especially auto sales, are not really conducive to recovery, you know, because you're trying to make the money. It's about making that money. So consequently, you do some things and you may tell a lie here and you may not tell all the truth here, you know. So consequently, you know, you're caught up and your spirit's caught up. And then you need that relief, especially working 12 hours a day. And the only relief we knew back then was to get high. Okay? So when I did come here, and I tried, actually, to get something out of Narcotics Anonymous, I got a sponsor and everything, because this is what I was told to do. But the real thing in my mind was just to come in here so I could save my job. I'll take a break from getting high. Okay? But it caught on to me for a little bit. I ended up relapsing, basically, because I was trying to save something else. I was caught up in a relationship. You know, a lot of us do that. And basically got my heart broke. So ended up picking up. I came back. I ended up using again. Now this time I ended up getting together with another recovery name. Now this time I had 18 months clean. And I knew her before, but now she's supposed to be in Narcotics Anonymous, and I think that she's working on something. We end up getting together, and she ends up pregnant, okay? She goes back and forth, back in and out, in and out, in and out. And the thing that goes through my mind is, it's very much out. You know what I mean? I'm trying to save. I'm just talking about Captain Saver. At it. Okay, we'll put it that way. but to be totally honest with you, it was because I had this fantasy that I didn't want to be an all-American daddy. You know, baby mom over here and one over in this side town and one over in this other state and whatever. I wanted to have a fantasy. That's my fantasy. And they told me that addiction, the basis of addiction, is a fantasy. Or whatever I want things to be. And if it's not the way I want it to be, then I got to do what I got to do to make it the way I want to be. And I tried to save her. Not once, but twice. After different members of Narcotics Anonymous, people with some time, said, you better leave that girl alone. You need to leave that girl alone. That's between her and God. But I was trying to help God. God, I was trying to help God. Don't you all see I'm trying to help God? God told me. God told me that I need to help in this area. Needless to say, I helped myself to the crack pipe sitting right next to it. Okay? I remember the second time I relapsed, or actually it's the third relapse, second time with this particular person. I had custody, she had three older children, other older than my child, my daughter. And she ended up, like, straight away from me, and she ended up trying to get high. And she left all the kids over somebody else's house. And I got worried about that. And I called the person The person brought me my daughter. Okay? Now, the other three, they weren't blood to me, and they ended up going to CYF custody and everything. And I had to go to the shelter here in Indian House because I had my daughter. And I had feelings for the woman, actually. Like I said, it was my fantasy. I want family to be together. So they were going to split the other kids up, and they ranged from 12 to 4. And I took them all. Rather than see them split up and set different foster homes and stuff, I took them all. Now, that was a wild, crazy change for me because I went from a person with 0 kids to 4, all ranging in age. But one of the harshest things was they all were ranging in degrees of illness of their own based on their mother's addiction. You know, oldest one being 12, and this one being 4. Well, my daughter, who was only, like, at the time, 5 months old. Now, I took this on because I had motive. My motive was to keep family together. So when she recovers, we can step in there and we can make this work. I was told if you want to make God laugh, make plans. That was my plan. I remember one time, since I had custody of them, I was getting a check for all the kids, take care of them and everything. And I was also told, she's not supposed to come to your home. She's had supervised visitation. But you know me, I got to do it my way. I got to like, she can come. I mean, she's asleep here. Because that's what I would like her. That's what I want. You know what I mean? Even though she may be gone, she would be gone for like almost 3 weeks to a month and be right in a 6-block area, but come like maybe once a month. And then it clicked with me. She only comes once a month. I said, oh, wait a minute. That's when the check comes. I remember now. That's when the check came. And it's one time, I know my mother, she got sick, and she was in the bathroom, and she wasn't feeling good, and my baby's mother had a big heart, great person, other than addiction, great person, and she was helping my mom, and the kids were cutting up because, like I said, they had emotional problems, different ones. The 12-year-old was the mother, okay, younger brother, he was next in line. He had some issues as far as behavior. Then there was a little girl who was 4 who was right under him, and because she was the younger one, she did what he did. So I'm like going like this. I got paramedics in the house, and they're like trying to talk to me, and the kids are cutting up. I end up spanking the boy, and the one paramedic who I knew for a while said, you know, you can't do that in front of us. And I was like, you know what? That's where I was at, right then and there. And they took my mom to the hospital. I went to the hospital with her. I called home to check on home, and she said, the mail's here. I was like, oh, wow. So I was like, okay, I got to go pick up this check. I picked up my mother's, her disability check also, and I was like going to cash it for university and drop off somebody to the hospital for it and go back home. And I got home and she was salivating. So I took the check. I went to go cash it. And after I cashed it, I stood there and I said, I really don't want to go back home because I know it's late. And I ended up going somewhere else because when I want to use and I didn't want to pick up the drug, the first thing that comes to my mind is tricking sex. Okay? So I ended up going from the Hill District, down the lower Hill District, and I ended up picking up a girl. Needless to say, I used with it. You know? And it was for like 3-4 days. And I finally got back home and everything, and I realized what had happened, and I had to make it back here. You know? I came right back. But I had to realize something. there's a whole bunch of different slogans that we use. I keep coming back. Don't pick up the first one. Keep it simple. Give yourself a break. And like, all these different slogans have significant meaning for whatever situation. I had to really learn about giving myself a break. As far as what I put myself through, when I came back here in 2006 and made the decision to do something different, that was giving myself a break. That was a major break. Why? Because I didn't have to go back and use it again. Because using, you know, for a while I thought it was fun. Then after a while it became a job. Then it became a horror show. For all the things that I had to do in order for me to get high. Now this, my God, he gives me different times. Because I was told a long time ago that every relapse gets worse. When I first came in here, I still had some things. By this last time around, I found out what it was like to be actually homeless. Jobless. Hopeless. And I was living basically hand to mouth. I still had custody of my daughter, and my mother was actually watching my daughter for me. Okay? God, the sign that God showed me was another one of our great sayings is the drug doesn't cheat, the lifestyle will. In order for me to, like, get high, I used to get packages from drug dealers, you know, that were cool with me. I'd give them their money off of it, and I would smoke, but I would also keep it rolling, you know. And there were some drug dealers that came from another area. Actually, they just got out of prison because there was a gang called the Larmer Avenue Wolfensburg Gang. It was a joint gang. They called it the Law. And it was a major drug bust. You know, federal and all that stuff. It was a federal sting. But two of them got out of prison, and they set up shop in one of our buildings, okay? And because of what I did, I was just outside doing what I do. That's how I make my money. That's how I get high. They moved in and told me I need to stop because I'm ruining their sales. Well, the arrogant person, like, don't you know who I am, stepped up. I'm like, yeah, okay, all right. And I kept going because that's how I got high. Well, one night it was dark. I'm talking to somebody. He had my back to the building, actually. And it was like pitch black, pretty much. And all of a sudden, I feel a whack. I feel a hit upside my head. I fall. Then I feel a leg kick me several times. I rolled across the street. And I looked up, and there was a .357 Magnum in my face. And he pulled the hammer back. See, I told you, didn't I? That's where God intervenes because, like I said, God shows me different stuff. He allowed me to get up from there. The first thing I wanted to do was do something to him, but then after a while, the spiritual awakening came where if I keep doing this, I may not make it back to Narcotics Anonymous. That was another thing about, I need to give myself a break because I put myself through a lot of stuff. I ended up in several fights within that particular little time period of like maybe 2-3 weeks. And that was basically God saying, what you going to do? You can have it like this, or you can have it like that. It's your choice. I had to make a choice to give myself a break. Because if I didn't give myself a break, God was showing me that I was probably going to go 6x6, put it that way. And what happens to my daughter? At the time, she was 6 years old. My mother was like 79 at the time. Too old to be really be chasing a six-year-old around. I had a responsibility. I had a gift. Because to me, every child is a gift from God. Because that child didn't ask to come. Okay? God gave me the opportunity of taking care of one of his. Because our children are just on loan to us. We're all God. But the thing is, though, he saw worthy in me to give me this little gift and make it and make me responsible for it. So I had to make a decision to be go ahead and be responsible. Not just to my daughter, but to my mother, because she needed me as well. I'm her only child. Okay? She is the last living member of her family. She was the middle child. Her brothers and sisters, older than her, and younger than her, were all gone. So it was just me, her, and my daughter, actually. Giving myself a break means I don't have to fight no more. That's part of the surrender to me. When I make my mind up to actually work a first step on any particular situation, that's giving myself a break. Because I'm stopping the negative or destructive behavior that I'm exuding so I can get a better perspective on what's actually happening so I now can ask for some help on how do I stop doing it. Now, talking back about when I wanted to try to make the family thing, where people were trying to give me the information, but I wasn't giving myself a break to hear the information because I was caught up in my own little fantasy world that I was going to make come true, come hell or high water. Okay? I was caught up. Jesus' addiction comes at you all kind of ways. The drug I use is just one manifestation of it. That's just one of the symptoms of the disease of addiction. The disease of addiction is something much stronger than that. It kills you spiritually, emotionally, mentally. But most of all, it'll make me kill myself. Not, I don't have to worry about none of you all. I have to worry about me killing me. I'm going to hit you with something. This is recent right here. You know? I've been taking care of my mother and my daughter up until this point right now. Okay? My mother has slowly declined. She's 86 years old. She's had some surgeries. And this last surgery she had, she went into rehab. So she had been getting sick off and on. So she had been to hospital. Then from the hospital, they sent her to a rehab. Then they'll send her back home. Each one of these rehab stays are getting longer and longer. This last time she had to have a hip replacement because she came home from rehab, was home for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and her hip was so badly hurting her as far as arthritis was concerned, they had to put her in the hospital and they did a hip replacement on her. She went through rehab, but she didn't come back home. And we're trying, and she wants to come. My mother, if you knew this woman, this is a strong-willed woman. This woman took care of me in my addiction. That was my biggest enabler, but she never really let me go, as much as she may have wanted to. So I don't let go of my mother because that woman means the world to me. Okay? We have our ups and our downs. We have our disagreements, but that's still my mother. I'm in a new chapter now. Why? Because my mother signed herself out of the hospital and came home because she got angry with him and she found out that she really can't do home anymore. She's too weak to stand on her own or try to help her to the potty and different things of that nature. And her nurse came to, see her that first day and he said this is too dangerous for her because actually from her mental capacity also has diminished. They feel that she cannot be by herself at all. And we didn't have the facilities needed for her to maintain in the home atmosphere. So I was talked to by several doctors, and they feel that I should sign her into permanent residence. And that was hard for me. That's hard for me because that's my mom. That woman has been there for me all the time. But here's the thing. That God talked, you know, Tony, this is another chapter happening here because there's some things that I need to do and I can't do them like this. It doesn't mean I don't love my mother. It hurts like heck because it's something I'm not used to. But it's giving myself a break also because I don't have to fight anymore. I don't have to fight on how I'm going to take care of her or I haven't been working. I haven't had a job in a few years because of a situation like this. You know, I didn't want to leave her home too long by herself or whatever the case may be. And now I don't have to worry about it anymore. I can go ahead and go back to work and maintain this. My daughter, at this age now, she's 13. She's becoming a young lady, okay? There are some things that she needs that I can't give her because I've never been a female. So I can't tell her certain things. I can tell her from a man's perspective, but also she needs a woman's perspective. Now, her mother, she's been back and forth. She has two older sisters, one 25, one about to turn 18. They're going to get with their sister, okay, because she's going to stay with them more often now. And teach her what a woman needs to know. So I'm basically going to be by myself. And for me, this is a whole new thing. Because when I first got the idea that this is what's going to happen, I immediately started fear set in, some anger, because I wasn't used to, I'm projecting down the road, I wasn't used to what I had to go through. But then I had to pray about it and give myself a break. Here's another song. Owen, I had to go to the hospital myself like last week. Okay? Now, I went to my doctor's office for a checkup because I'm actually diabetic. And I felt normal. I went in, it was last Wednesday. Wednesday before that, excuse me. And I went in, they took some blood. I'm like chilling. They just go to the hospital immediately because my blood sugar was at 540. And I didn't know it, but I spent the time there and I met a series of doctors, the cardiologist, the endocrinologist, you know, and there's another level of surrender, okay, because just because I have a disease of addiction doesn't mean I don't have some other diseases, right, the diabetes. And just like the disease of addiction, I have to do what I have to do to maintain this. I have to maintain that as well because it's also life-threatening. I have to watch what I eat, how I eat. I have to take my medication. I have some lifestyle changes, how I cook food and things of that nature, how I have to change. That's some hard stuff a lot of times, you know, especially when you like what you like. This is what tastes good to you. But now you got a way out, so I have to give up the taste so I can survive. I had to give myself a break on that. I've been a smoker, okay? The cardiologist, that was strong. She was an African lady. She came in and said, oh, diabetes? And I understand you smoke. And she saw the pack of cigarettes in my pants pocket. She said, yeah. That's a great combination for losing limbs. and immediately I thought of a few friends that I had, some of them in the fellowship with diabetes and then have lost limbs. Leg, arms. There was one guy who was in and out. He lost both his arms, one leg, some other stuff. You know? She also said it's also perfect for ED. And I said, oh, ED? They let us wreck record on the fucking okay? And that hit home. These things hit home. These things hit home. So I had two cigarettes left. I smoked those two cigarettes at the hospital while I was there that time, and that was Friday morning. So as of right now, it's been like 8 days since I've had a cigarette. Okay? Because I had to give myself a break. Because if I don't give myself a break, then these parts will be falling off in this park somewhere. Okay? That's the thing. That's the thing. I have to be confronted with some things where I have to make a decision to give myself a break, because if I don't, I'm going to end up dead. Or worse. Because if I go back to my addiction, the worst thing is being soulless and spiritless out there and not dying. I don't want that. But the key thing, since I am here, I have to give myself a break on different levels, because different things will come before me that I've never experienced before. And it's all about how I perceive these particular things. And if I perceive them in the wrong manner, I can be detrimental to me. And that's when I have to work a step. That's that first step. Stopping the behavior. And that's when you really give yourself a break. When you first walk into a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, you're giving yourself a break. Because you're taking the time, the effort. Sometimes we're forced, sometimes we're not. But the thing is, we're coming through the door. We're walking through the door where somebody can say, "Welcome to Narcotics Anonymous." Where somebody can say, "Sit down, have a seat, get yourself a cup of coffee, and listen to the message of hope." So that's what this is about. We're about giving a message of hope to let somebody know that one day at a time, you don't have to get high no more. One day at a time, your life can get better. One day at a time, you can live your dreams. One day at a time, you can help somebody else get another day clean. And that's what our message is all about. What they tell us, the message is hope and the promise is freedom. That an addict, any addict, can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. That's our promise. But you got to give yourself a break first. You got to be open, honest. Honest, open-minded, and willing to do this. That started giving yourself a break. You know? I had a serious ass whooping. I had a serious ass whooping where it came down to, do I want to go through the pain, or do I want to do something different? I gave myself a break. I'm going to do something different. As life goes on, like this last thing I told you about my mother and my daughter, it's not a bad thing, but when I first perceived it, it was scary. But after praying about it and talking to some people about it, I had to give myself a break and let God do what He's doing. Because my God always has something good for me. If I just step out of the way and allow Him to do what He does, I'll give myself a break and be open to whatever He's got for me. And that's the key. Let me do this without getting high and without smoking a cigarette. And without smoking, because I'm like, I'm proud of that. But like, as long as I can do that, I'm giving myself a break. And when I give myself a break, I give God the opportunity to show me something new and different. And I give an opportunity to live and do what He needs me to do so I can help somebody else. And that's all I need to do. That gives me one day clean. That helps me get somebody else some time, some hope. And that's all I need. I'm good. I'm a grateful recovery. My name is Walt.